All right, we're back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're joined by Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves. Rockets win it in round one, 22-8 in the first round over Eastland Pearl City. And I think the way my dad worded it was in the second half, it felt like you were able just to kind of hold serve and get to the finish line 22-8. So I know you're probably maybe not thrilled with the way it went in the second half, but I know this time of the year it's about the end result. You get a win and get a move on to round two. So just what's kind of your takeaway after the win today?
Yeah, I will say before I get into any negative that I thought our defensive energy coming out of, the start of the game, I think somebody told, it was your dad that told me like 5 yards rushing and zero first downs in the first half. That won us the game because we were up 22-0, so just praise our kids for the phenomenal effort defensively, especially in the run game being very physical because we challenged them. And we told them there's a lot of people believe that this should be a quarterfinal matchup, that you guys shouldn't be seeing them in the first round, that they think they can play with you that deep. Like, we challenged our guys. This is going to be a team that wants to come in and run over you. So they answered that call for us really well and responded to that challenge that we had for them. Coming out of halftime, you're right. It was one of those things where you just – banging our heads against the wall. And I said to somebody else, a little coaching error too by me, because we're such a team with good receivers that we have to sprinkle in those short passes. Like, Hitches are a run game extension for us. And I got away from it. You know what I mean? You see things in the run game that should be there, but then, you kind of bang your wall head against the wall saying, we're going to force this to work so we can run out the clock and just get out of here. But And we were hoping to get one or two more on the board and just get out of the game. And I think the feeling was that eventually this is going to break and it'll be 40-0 and we'll get out of here. And I think even me included, and I'm not just blaming the kids. I think that lackadaisical come out of halftime. Okay. This is what we thought we could stop them. And here we go, it's playoff football time, man. Anything can happen. And you got to have that 4-quarter focus and toughness and grit. And I think we kind of got a little lackadaisical coming out of halftime there.
Yeah, so the net positive, or the number one big positive today, obviously, was the defensive effort. Like you touched on there, the stats, 6 yards of total offense for them in the first half, all of them on the ground. No first downs in the first half. They finished 5 first downs, 97 yards of total offense, just 61 yards rushing for a team that came into play out of the Northwest Upstate Alliance Conference. You know the physicality of that league with over 2,000 yards rushing on the season. So just to be able to limit them to 61, where we talked with Coach McNutt after the game, and he said, at halftime, he's like, we know that we cannot run the ball against them in our I formation. So they went out to the spread. So, I mean, what does it say about the defensive unit to be able to force that team from that conference out of their, run first offense to try to have to spread it out against you?
Yeah, it is. That's an awful good compliment from a very good football team and a good coach. And to get them out of their game plan, I think coming out of halftime, it did kind of surprise us. They came out in that empty formation, a couple different empty formations. And we definitely were not ready. It's not like we haven't seen empty, but we told our kids they run a formation where it's 2x2 with a sniff. And we said, this is not empty, guys. Like, we're not going to honor that. We're going to play our run defense. Well, then they came out with a wing and a tight end, and they did give us empty. And I think our guys had the mentality that, well, they're saying this isn't empty all week, so we're not going to make our empty adjustment. So we had to make that. They got a couple runs on us. And then once we made that adjustment, it wasn't perfect, but then the runs were 2-3 yards instead of a chunk yard. So, our guys did a good job adjusting on the fly. You could tell they got out of their game plan and were a lot more shotgun spread. I think we just need to keep that edge and keep that discipline throughout the whole second half too. This has kind of been the story of Rock Ridge the whole year is, we've been up on teams. Whether it be, Riverdale, Orion, Sherrard in the week one, like, we've been up on teams 28-0, 35-0, half, and then all of a sudden they beat you in the third quarter, like it's 35-7. Like, and you just don't put people away. Like, we need to come out as sharp as we came out at the beginning of the game, and people aren't just going to roll over because you're Rock Ridge. Like, that just doesn't happen. Good programs are going to fight to the end. So, we got to do a good job physically and disciplined through the final buzzer of the horn.
Well, yeah, you look at this game, and when you look at the statistics, total offense 335 yards to 97. But, you know, at the end of the game, you look 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, it's 22-8, and after a block punt, they've got the ball like the 35-yard line. You're thinking, oh my gosh, they might make this a one-score game. So I know the things there, obviously the block punt, four turnovers, and then eight penalties for 60 yards, just kind of things that, in playoff football a lot of times cost you. They don't cost you tonight, but I know you're probably about to say, really got to clean that up going into round two.
Yeah, and, you know, we set up that play action pass perfect. That was the touchdown that got called back. That could have blown, I think, blown the game open. We finally set that up long enough. And you know, just you have two different officials calling two different things. And, you know, illegal motion, and then you have a guy saying that the one guy wasn't set on the play side. They called two different people. You're getting two different – you know, that was pretty frustrating there, some tic-tac stuff. But, you know, other than that disappointment, you know, that blocked field goal in the first half, 22-0, we couldn't get any answer on why that wasn't offsides. You go in and look at the huddle replay from the sideline, and that kid's two steps over the line of scrimmage before the ball snapped. Come on. Okay. Let me get out some, frustration here. All right. And
I see we're going to have an interim head coach for the Rockets next week.
So, you know, Ty, here's my play sheet. You can have at it while I'm calling the game because I complain about officials. But anyway, you know, there's just a lot of little things like that. Those couple things, the fumble, we had a nice quarterback counter run play, and he cuts back nice off the block on the backer, and the backside outside linebacker comes folding in and kind of hits him from the side behind and knocks it loose. So, you know, at so many points, I think we could have taken control of that and just, you know, but again, you know, if we win ugly four more times, you're state champions. So who cares? At this point, an ugly win's a win, and in the playoffs, it's all about winning.
Yeah, but and then, you know, you mentioned the turnovers. But I think offensively, the thing that I liked was the run game. You rushed for 234 yards in this game. You get 77 yards from Schweigen, 78 from Soward, 72 from Faramuth. Very balanced. And I thought coming in, you know, just kind of looking at the style of football that they play in the NUIC, I thought maybe, you know, you'd have more success throwing the ball against them. But really, it was the running game that really was able to open things up for you today. So what'd you like, maybe blocking up front or just maybe the execution of the rush offense being able to rack up over 230 yards?
Yeah, our offensive line did a really nice job. You know, we're even asking some undersized tight end type kids, our slots, to come down and get involved in the blocking game, and they were willing to stick their nose in there too. You know, we did a very nice job. We you know, and that's with, you know, we got Brody Nicholson, who undersized, who was a slot in the summer, who was willing to come down to do that and stick his nose in there and be physical for the team. You know, Levi Junis, who's a freshman, you know, got thrown in, I think, I don't remember what week, was six or seven. We finally went to him and started him. So he's, you know, he's in his, as a freshman, he's in his fourth game, I think, right now, of varsity football. So, you know, those guys are doing a great job and doing, and giving it their all for us. And, you know, you kind of, unfortunately, I know I'm kind of looking, praising those guys and looking over, you know, Jude Bull and McKeag, but, you know, those are kind of your guys you expect it from. Those guys are steady guys that give you good work, and you know, I think all across the board there's improvement to be had, and that's the thing I told the guys in the huddle after the game is, when we get together on Monday, you know, as long as you're willing and not satisfied and want to celebrate because you won one round, as long as we're willing to come in and say we did things wrong, we have to improve, we're not happy where we are, and we can keep getting better, then we're going to be a pretty dangerous team here in the playoffs.
All right, just looking ahead now, next week your opponent will be determined at, they're just getting underway in the third quarter, 0-0 Farmington and Deer Creek Mackinac is the score, 0-0 as they start playing the third quarter. So you do know you'll be on the road no matter what next week. So you don't know your opponent yet, but looking ahead, I mean, getting to play where, you know, you'll have, what, 16 teams left in Class 2A next week, knowing you'll be one of them. Always pretty cool when you get advanced to the next round. So just, I'm sure, pretty exciting looking ahead to round two.
Yeah, it is. You know, that's an exciting moment for our guys. And I hope they really are happy with their effort and they celebrate this weekend. And you know, as a coach, you always want them to be hungry. You know, I hope we come back hungry and ready to prove ourselves. And that was the big message to them today. You know, I see your hat here, but we even pulled out a quote from them that we say in some local media had you guys as 8.5-point underdogs and picked EPC to win, and that's disrespectful to us. I don't.
Not me. I picked the Rockets.
I get it, but you know, I think our kids really bought that message of you know, I think everybody expects Rockdridge to be a little average because of the couple losses we tripped up with, and we feel like we're a much better team than that, and we can be better even yet, and that's again. I know I use that word, but that's the spooky, scary thing is that, you know, if we can keep getting better, you know, then we'll be a pretty tough out. We got some mentally tough kids, and that takes you a long way in the playoffs.
Coach, I was talking to Jared McNutt after the game, and I asked him, can you speak to Rockridge's defensive physicality and speed today? And I thought it was really... You know, I didn't ask him, hey, what's the best defensive team you played all year? But I thought his ultimate compliment, he said, we just couldn't simulate that speed that they have defensively. So that's what he said about the Rockridge defense today. And that's a guy that plays, you know, that's coached for 9 years or 7 years, whatever it was in the NUIC. So it's nice to hear things like that.
Yeah, it is. You know, those are kids that, the Jude Finches, man, you can't replicate that. That's a 135-pound kid on defensive line who you look at and you're like, are you kidding me? But that but that kid's a state champion wrestler who's got such a, you know, hard-nosed, get-after-it mentality. And I think I talked about that. It might have been maybe last week or a couple weeks ago how I talked about, man, my example to the kids is if I ever have to get in a fight somewhere,
yeah, get him.
I want Jude Finch with me if I ever have to get in a fight somewhere, because I know that dude is down to do it, and he's dirty and nasty and physical. So you never have to question that dude's toughness. So, you know, you're right. You cannot replicate that, trying to prepare for that. You can tell your guys all you want, like, hey, this dude's fast. Like, We have to, whatever, zone block, reach, your first step's got to be quick, you got to be good blocking back if they're running a gap scheme, whatever, but it's hard to replicate. You can say it, and we do the same thing, you know, with our scout team. We got freshmen and poor freshmen and sophomores out there trying to give us a look, but we haven't been able to go full, you know, you don't want to run those kids off, so you don't go full speed against them all year, and you got to say, hey, their nose, Jude, is, you know, whatever he was, 6'3", like 285,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Whatever the heck their nose was, and do we can't. I mean, that's, you just can't replicate that. So I, you know, it happens to us too. But you're right. That is a good compliment from their coach. And I know he said coming out of halftime too that they had to get out of eye. They couldn't feel like they could run on us. So that, you know, again, we got some pretty good compliments from a very good football team and a very good football conference.
The only other thing I want to share with you tonight too is, we talked to Brody Nicholson after the game, and there's a lot of times when you talk to kids about, you know, I want to get on the field and have an opportunity to play. How can I get on the field and play, right?
Yep.
And he was one of those kids that said, how can I get on the field and play? And it's not going to be as a slot receiver or a wideout. You're going to have to figure it out and play somewhere else. And look at the impact that kid has had this year. And there are so many examples like this that you don't see, because yep, kids won't say, I want to play another position, or how can I get on the field? And I just think he's such a tremendous example and such of an impact player too. So I really wanted to highlight him this year. And it's not just about today.
Yeah.
It's about body of work 10 weeks in the season.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. You know, we started the year, and he was a slot in summer, and it was him, you know. And like you said, it's not a thing nowadays that just happens. Like, you move kids to line from skill positions, and instead of just toughing it out and getting better, we've had it here. I think in the last 3 or 4 years, we've tried to move a couple kids down and they quit. If they're not playing where they want, they'd rather not play. You know, that's a kid that not only was willing to make the move, but it was him that wanted to make the move, because he saw in the summer that we were struggling in practice to run the ball, and our offensive line was really a work in progress, to say that nicely. And he was willing to come down, and again, that's a kid that'll, you know, stick his nose in there, and sometimes, like you saw in fullback dives tonight, sometimes it was him and the fullback one-on-one in B-gap, which we kind of game plan for. And we're like, Brody, they can't block you with what we're doing, but it's you versus fullback 21. Like, it's you two in that hole. And he was willing to stick his nose in there every time. You saw one time, maybe he got ran over, but he was making the tackle for a 2 yard gain, you know, and they couldn't afford to do that all the way down the field. They had to get out of that. So, you know, super proud of him, especially when you're willing to be that much of a team player and maybe sacrifice your, you know, dreams of catches and stats and stuff like that to do a thankless job on the offensive line. And be a great linebacker for us. That, you know, those are, as a coach, man, that's why you're doing this. You get kids like that, and it just makes you feel so good. And then to have a little success that he's seeing, it makes you even feel better for him. He deserves it. He deserves to make a little run here.
All right, that's that coach, the Rock Ridge Rockets, Sam Graves, joining us post-game. Rockets winning over Eastland Pearl City 22-8. On to the second round. Coach Graves, nice going today, and look forward to next Saturday, man, into round two.
We appreciate it, and thank you guys for being here, and we'll look forward to making you guys make a road trip next weekend, too.
Looking forward to it. We want a few more road trips, right, as the Rockets win it by a final score of 22-8. We'll wrap it up after this on WRMJ.